Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, I want to share, we've been doing a series called Abnormal, because we don't serve a God who does normal. As a matter of fact, we said this, that in Christianity in general today, it just seems like across the board, there's just not a whole lot of awesome, cool things happening. And so we gave a couple verses, and you can write this down. We'll just kind of recap these verses because they're important for us to know. Acts chapter 17, verse 6, it says, "And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren into the rulers of the city, crying, 'These that have turned the world upside down have come here hither also.'" And so they referred to the early church as people that have turned the world upside down. And we ended last week, and we said this, that man, if we will let God turn us upside down so that He can refill us with more of Him, then we can turn our world upside down as well. You know, the Bible talks about how that you and I as believers, we are the light of the world, a city on a hill. You know, there was this week, where I was driving someplace, and I could see a house on a hill in the distance, and it just brought back to remembrance what we have been teaching and talking about, that when something is on a hill, you can see it a lot further away. And I talked about how some of those castles, you know, Keys and I, we had the chance to do a lot of things, done some ministry in Europe, and when we went to Europe, there's lots of castles and palaces on hills, on mountains or mounds, and you can see them from, some of them, from miles and miles away. And so when something is elevated, you can see it for a long distance. The visual is way out there. As a matter of fact, you know, years ago, Keys and I went to and saw the Statue of Liberty. And, you know, you can see it way out in the distance because it's so tall. This summer, we took the kids, I believe maybe in June or July, we took the kids to Mount Rushmore. And, you know, as you're driving, you can actually, there's areas out away from it where you can see it from a long distance away. Of course, the closer you get, you can't see it till you actually get to it. But when you're far away from it, out in the brush, or whatever you want to call it, you can see Mount Rushmore from a long, long way. And so when something is elevated, you can see it further. It makes a bigger impact. Well, that's what we as believers should be. We should be like a city on a hill that just can't be hidden. You're just going to, you know, I'm known as being loud. And matter of fact, did I even turn this on? Yeah, I did. Okay. It's one of those things where I don't know, you know. And so, you know, I'm known for me. Well, that's okay. Because if you ever need to find me, do you know how easy, is it easy to find me? It's easy to find me. You know what I'm saying? It's just, you know, so I've heard about, what'd you say? Follow the voice. All right. I hear that all the time. I heard someone Friday night, the school had a event called Pumpkin Palooza. They got all these pumpkin events and pumpkin chunking and all that stuff. And matter of fact, I should have got some to shoot later. It's just fun watching them explode. Anyhow, so when I was out there, I came back later on 10 o'clock that night because we had our sound system over there. And one of the dads, who's a friend of mine, he said, "Well, I heard your voice, but I didn't know where you were." And so I'm like, it's like sonar, man. You'll find me eventually. But what I'm not saying you got to be loud. Well, I'm not saying you got to be loud. But you know, there's a story, and many of you heard the story about a minister. You know, just like you and I should be full of the Word of God and full of the Spirit of God. He was at a shopping mall, and he was following his wife, and because he was just kind of holding his wife's stuff. You know what I mean? And as she bought stuff, he would hold it. He was just, you know, he was sucking it up like a good husband. You know, And how many of y'all, I just don't like going to malls. You know, I like going to my specific store, grab what I need to grab, and then come back. Now, I will browse at gun stores, okay? You know, Saturday, when Keys and I, you know, made us leave the house and all that, we went to Greenville and went over to Atwoods. And, of course, you know, my excuse for the kids going to Atwoods, the, you know, Farm and Ranch Supply, was so they can go look at the chickies. You know, get a little chickies, you know, live ones, you know. Of course, you know, they said there's signs over there that says because of COVID, you can't touch them. Usually you can pick them up and play with little chickies and little bitty bunnies and stuff. And so anyhow, that was the excuse to let them give me permission to go there. But you go to the back of the store, and that's where the guns are and the ammo and all the supplies, you know what I mean? And so my deal with them is, let me just breeze back there real quick, and then we'll go look at the little chickies. And so then Academy. You know, Academy is just right down the road, right there at I-30. And so, okay, listen, Mackenzie, if I let you go to Hobby Lobby, then you let me go next door to the Academy. So, deal. All right, so we did that. And so after that, they were done with gun stores. And so anyhow, I could do that. But as far as just shopping for clothes and all that, anyway. So this minister, he's with his wife, and there she goes walking in one store and out the other. And all of a sudden, a lady walks up to him and says, "I knew you'd be here." And he's just kind of like, "What are you talking about?" And she says, "The Lord told me that there's somebody here that'll pray for me, and I knew it was you." He said, "Well, how did you know it was me?" She said, "I saw light going in and out of all these different stores, and I just followed that light, and it brought me here, and you were the one, you were that light." Well, of course, he'll tell you he wasn't that light, but it was the Jesus in him that was the light. And so we, as believers, should be so unique that something somehow takes note for the rest of the world. Now, that being said, there is a flip side, and I'll tell you that, and then I'll move on. When I just graduated from Bible school in the mid-90s, and I went home during that summer, and man, I'm telling you what, I was praying in the Holy Ghost. I didn't have a radio in my car. Matter of fact, I was happy not to have a radio in my car. So I'd pray in the Spirit everywhere I drive, just driving everywhere, just praying in the Spirit, you know, whatever, and just stay full. You got to stay full of the Word. And I'll never forget, I'm at a red light, and this dude in front of me, he gets out of his car and stands in front of me and is pointing at me and shouting. I'm like, what in the world? I mean, he was just angry and stuff. And I'm thinking, what is this dude's problem? You know what it was? Man, the devil knows when you are lit up, and the enemy can't stand that. I got another friend of mine graduated with me that year, and we came back after the second year, and he was telling me, he said, "Man, I was at home. I was walking down the street, and all of a sudden, this dude just looked at me, and his eyes kind of got full of fire, and he started cussing me out and saying all kinds of stuff." And I said, "He saw the God in you, and he was full of the devil." That's what it was. And I thought, you know, but you got to think about it. When the disciples in the book of Acts would go down the road, the Bible says even the devils knew who they were. And so listen, it's one thing when your friends know who you are, but when you got devil's attention, and they know your name, man, you know you stay in full of God. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light." Not little flicker light. I'm a little flicker Christian. No, call me Flicka. I'm just a little... Yeah. That's a dolphin, isn't it? Something like that. It's a poipus without a poipus. All right. And so you know, we're not little, you know, little flame here and there. You know what I'm saying? We are like the halogen, the super high lumen. That's what, because listen, if it says that we were called out of darkness into his marvelous light, how bright is his marvelous light? And that's some serious business right there. Because after all, there was light on the earth before there was a sun. Go figure that out. That's how bright that you are. And I'll say this, it doesn't matter how dark the world or our world is or becomes, all that means is they'll be able to see us better. Because the darker it is, the more you can see light. But here's the problem. Here's the thing right now, we got to get straight right now. And that is this. Does the world have to get really, really dark before it sees the little flicker of who we are, the cute little light that we got flickering on the inside of us that could just blow out with a little wind blowing? Little flicker? Does it have to get so dark? I can't see it. Where can you turn the lights out? You know, I've got some red dot sights, these illuminated red dot sights that go on some of my rifles. And I've got some expensive ones that when it's bright outside, you can still see the dot because the dot is just good, it's bright. But then I got one where it's so, matter of fact, my sister came and brought hers, and she's got one that's not real bright. It's a good sight, but it's just not real bright. And so it was on, And I went to go shoot. I'm like, where's that red dot? It was right outside. I was like, man, where is that? I can't. Oh, there it is. And so I finally saw the thing. But what I'm saying is we should be so bright that when the sun is blasting and beaming and reflecting off of everything, they can still see us and we are still bright. Remember, it says right here, out of darkness into His marvelous light. Psalms 139 verse 14, we said this last week, I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works that my soul knoweth right well. That word fearfully means to inspire reverence and godly awe. It means to cause astonishment, honor, respect, and to stand in awe. In other words, people, when you and I as believers, we've got to get full of the Word of God to where it is just known. Somebody walking by, you're one of them believers, aren't you? Well, I could tell by this, or I could tell by that. You know, so it's important that you and I, in this season of life, that we just grow in our fellowship and our walk with the Lord. Fearfully and wonderfully made. That word wonderfully means distinct. It means set apart. It means amazingly constructed. You and I are amazingly constructed. Now, I know well, you could get into the science and the stuff and say, well, you know, yeah, science-wise, we are. Listen, that's nothing. I mean, yes, physically and scientifically, we are amazingly and wonderfully made. But you got to think, if science is common on the earth, there's got to be something even more unique and wonderful and amazing, and that is the Spirit of God on the inside of us. All right, now, all that being said, you and I are not created to be normal. We were created to be very, very different. We were created to be light. We were created to be a city on a hill that cannot be missed. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 1. This is what I want to share this morning. Joshua chapter 1. I'm sorry, chapter 18. Joshua 18. We'll go to Joshua 1 later. Joshua chapter 18. Joshua. So there are some things that God has for us that demands our faith. So in other words, faith is believing what God said. And so when you find what God said, we are the unique people. We are the unique ones that may stand alone, may stand out. It says here, in starting at verse 1, verse chapter 18, verse 1 of Joshua, now the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up tabernacles and meeting there, and the land was subdued before them. Oh, you know, I'm sorry. Joshua chapter 1, that's what I wanted to go first. Yeah, that's why I had that written that way. All right, I had it written wrong in my notes. Joshua chapter 1. But see, we're getting some practice flipping around, right? My sister drove up on Monday, my sister and dad, and she got a couple new firearms, and she wanted to go through some drills. And so, you know, drills, when you're drilling, you're doing the same thing over and over again. So you can get muscle memory of where to come up, how to come up, and how to draw. And so, you know, the more you flip through the pages of the Bible, you get muscle memory. You can find out where these books are. Okay, Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, thy servant is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over the Jordan, you and this people, that the land which I give you, give to them, the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, I will give you. Pardon me, I have given you. I want you to see this. If you have a paper Bible, underline that phrase, I have given you. And if you have a underlining capability in your electronic Bibles, I want you to go for that one. It says, every place that the sole of your feet tread, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the Ephratites, or whatever, all the lands of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for this people you shall divide, to this people shall divide as inheritance the land which I swear to your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do all the law which Moses, thy servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or the left hand, that you may prosper wherever you go. We're winding down here. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and be of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded his officers, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go and possess the land which your God has given you to possess. I want you to see this. Possess the land which your God has given you to possess. Now, let me give you the context right here. They physically have not possessed the land. They physically have not yet taken over this land. But the word of the Lord said here, I have given you. In other words, he said, possess the land that I have given you. Look at verse 3. Starting here at the verse 3. For every place that your sole of your foot will tread, I have given you. Everyone say past tense. You see, God speaks the way he sees. And he sees his will as done, which means he sees past tense. So he talks past tense. God's will was and is and was for them to have the land of Canaan. Okay? So when he gives a directive, he sees it as done. That's what faith does. Faith sees things as done. Now, your eyes don't tell you that. Your ears don't tell you that. But as far as in the mind of God, you can write down Isaiah chapter 55. You can write down 8 through 11. 8 through 11, it starts out by saying, my ways are not your ways, says the Lord. My ways are higher than your ways. Okay, how is God's ways higher? Because he thinks higher. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. You see, God thinks his whole plan out all at once. So God's planning is already completed. However, he requires you and I to walk out his plan. So back to verse 3, it says, every place the sole of your feet shall tread, I have given you. And so they haven't even tread there just yet. But if they would just tread there or walk there, it's already earmarked for them. Okay, now there's another word here. There's another word here where it says, you can go ahead to chapter 18, Joshua chapter 18, verse 3. And there's a word I want you to see here. Because they haven't gone in just yet. The spies had spied out the land already, in Numbers 13. But then here in Joshua 18, verse 3, then Joshua said to the children of Israel, how long will you neglect to go and possess the land which the Lord your father has, the Lord God of your fathers have given you? It says, how long will you neglect to go and possess it? Everyone say possess. Let me give you the Hebrew understanding or the definition of this word possess. Now we know what the word possess means, but remember, Hebrew is more descriptive. Hebrew was the original language of the Old Testament. The word possess means, it means to take possession. So even though God has provided you something and God said, I've already given it to you, we still have to go and take it. You know, when our bodies start talking sickness, and we have over 100 verses in the Bible talking about healing and health, we are the ones that have to take a hold of what God's word says. Where and how do we take hold of it? Well, the Joshua 1:8, we just read that. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate day and night. So two places God's word has to be to guarantee success, because Joshua 1 verse 8 also says that you make your way prosperous and you have good success. You see, God's provided provision and provided all that needs to be done, provided covenants and contracts and promises, but there is something that we have to do to possess the things that God said. So the word possess, and we'll talk about that in a second. Possess, it means to take possession. It means to inherit something. You know, when my dad gave us some early inheritance before, he hadn't passed away yet. I just saw him Monday. And so he wanted to come up. He wanted to see what his inheritance bought us, you know what I'm saying? Or partially bought us. So inheritance, I still had to go and take that. You know, it would be crazy for my dad to say, well, Michael, I want to give you some early inheritance, and so I've earmarked this amount of money for you. Well, all right, Dad, thank you. And that's it. What do? I got to go and get it. I had to drive to Houston and give, you know, go to the the wire company to do the wiring and all that stuff to wire it to our title company and all this other stuff. You see, there's something that needed to be done for me to possess or take what he had. You know, several years ago, he gave us a vehicle. I offered to buy a vehicle that he had that he wasn't using. And he called a couple days later and says, you know what? I talked to your sister and she said, just give it to you. And so I'm like, all right. And so I said, well, we're going to be down in about 2 weeks and we'll come get it. Well, I hung up the phone. About 30 minutes later, I get a call from my mom and she says, boy, you better get down here tomorrow and pick this thing up before he changes his mind. And so even though I had it available, I had to go possess the thing. I had to go inherit it or take it. That word possess also means, listen to this, it means to dispossess. This is a Hebrew definition, dispossess. What does it mean to dispossess? It means when there's another hand on what belongs to you, you have to get that hand off of what belongs to you. A lot of people, you know, there's what they call a no-fault religion that a lot of Christians, one of the dominant religions that really influences in the land, and it's, well, whatever happens, it's God. Well, you know, aren't you glad the children of Israel didn't believe that mess? Aren't you glad that they realized that, listen, if God promised me something and there's somebody else enjoying my promise, I'm going to do what God said. He said, go in and possess the land. So Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says this. It says, this book of the law, it says, it shall not depart from your mouth. In other words, we need to keep God's promises on our lips at all times. You know, whenever pain hits my body, my first words has got to be, I thank you, Father, that your word says in 1 Peter 2:24 that by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Isaiah 53, 1 through 5, but surely He took my sickness upon his back, and by his stripes I am healed. Exodus 23, 25, he'll take sickness and disease far from among me. I've got to have those things on my lips. God's word has got to be on my lips. Why? Because the enemy is going to do everything he can to try to convince me that I have to live this way, that I've got to settle for whatever comes my way. You never have to settle for anything that comes your way if you have a promise on it. If you have, listen to this, not just a scripture, but God still speaks today prophetically. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11 says that there are still prophets on the earth today. Matter of fact, in 2 Chronicles, the Bible tells us to believe the prophets so that you'll be established and prosper. What am I saying? God is not silent. God is still speaking. And if we will find out what he said, find out what he says, and find out what he's saying, and he's saying, take possession of my promises, if we will continue. The Bible says in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall continually be on your mouth. Then it says, meditate in it day and night. I appreciate that a lot of us believers, we have our morning devotion time, and we put the Word of God on the inside. But I hate to say this, but according to Scripture, that's not all that there is. Because Joshua 1:8 says, meditate. What does that word meditate mean? It means to think about, think about God's word. The word meditate means to M-U-T-T-E-R, mutter. What does that mean? Speak under your breath. Man, there's times where I'm driving down the road and I'm speaking the promises of God. I got a list. I write down every prophetic word that was given to me by a prophet, and I have it written down right here. Written. I scroll through it, and matter of fact, most of them are got to memory, and I'm speaking. I'm speaking out loud. Why? I'm keeping the word of God in my mouth. I'm keeping the word of God because I have hope. Because David said this in Psalms 49 and 50, it says, my hope, my comfort in my suffering is this, your word gives me hope. Or you can say it this way, your word gives me expectation. What can I expect? A lot of times people think, may say that, well, you're just a positive person. Well, positive is better than negative. Can I tell you that? I mean, I'd rather be known as a positive person than a negative person. But I'm not trying to be positive for positive sake. The reason why I am positive is because I positively have expectation because I positively have a positive promise that has been given to me. And if I will positively possess my promise and dispossess the enemy, then guess what? I get what the God of this universe says belongs to me. But I am the one, we are the one, that has to stand believing what he said and dispossess the enemy. I'll say that word again, the word possess. He says, Joshua said this in Joshua 18:3, and Joshua said to the children of Israel, how long are you going to be slack to go possess the land, which the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you? You see, God has given it to them. In God's mind, it's done. But we still have to go in. They still have to go in and possess the land. And let's look at this one last word, and I'll close with this. Everyone say slack. Look at your neighbor and say, don't be a slacker. No, there's no You can't say slacker. It's slacker. All right. It says, how long will you be slack? Okay. Now, watch this. This word slack, it means to relax. It means to cease. Cease from what? Cease from believing. Cease from thinking God's word. Cease from speaking what God said. The word slack means to relax. It means to cease. It means to desist. Are we going to let go of the promises of God or let go of the word of the Lord because things just don't look good? Well, you don't know how things look. I do know how things look. I just choose not to look at what you're looking at. I'm going to look at what God's looking at. What's God looking at? He's looking at what's in his mind. Well, how do you know what's in God's mind? It's in the word of God. He has spoken it through the prophets. He has spoken it through the written word. That's what I got to keep my mind on. The word slack means to relax. It means to cease. It means to desist. Uh-oh. Here's one. This is what the word slack means. It means to become discouraged. You ever been discouraged before? I have. Do you know that every time I have become discouraged, when I catch myself, I have found the reason why I was discouraged is because I got my mind and eyes off of the promises of God. I will admit that in a heartbeat. And then I have to do again what Joshua 1:8 says, get the word back in my mind, back in my mouth, back and forth, because that is what's going to ensure good success. So the word slack means to become discouraged. It means to become disheartened. Listen to this. The word slack means to become weak. It means to become feeble. You ever felt feeble? I have. Man, I tell you what, this week I had moments where it was easy to feel feeble. You know, Keys, I had some physical things going on this week, and man, there was a moment where I felt it. Everybody say, he felt it. I felt it. And if I feel it, that means I'm fixing to crash. When I'm feeling it, I'm going to crash. And you know what I had to do? I had to get back on and get the word back in my mouth and back in my mind and make some phone calls and get some texts so I can release some of this stuff for other folk to jump on with me. That's what agreement's for. That's why we got to be in agreement with the word of God and agree with the word. Amen? All right, so become disheartened, become weak or feeble to let drop. Uh-oh. I was speaking God's word and talking God's word, but I just got real busy and I dropped the ball. Oh, man, we can't drop the ball. The word slack means to discourage. In other words, hey man, hear how bad things are getting. Oh no, don't slack me up. Don't give me that slack. It means the word slack means to leave alone. It means to let go, to forsake, to abandon. Ooh, and here's the bad one. This is a bad four-letter word when I was growing up, lazy. The word slack means to be lazy. Listen, I can't be slack with the Word of God. We can't be slack with the promises of God or the prophetic utterances of God. We have to possess, take hold of everything that God said. I had some friends one time that started a dessert shop, and when they were starting the dessert shop, they had all kind of issues happening and delays and all kind of stuff. And every once in a while, the husband would say, "Well, maybe this is not God's will." A problem means it's not God's will, because I got a verse in Matthew, I believe, in chapter 13, the parable of the sower sowing the word. My Bible tells me that whenever the promise of God is spoken, the enemy comes immediately to try to steal that word from our hearts. And so, listen, whenever there is attack, whenever there is junk going on, that should encourage us to know, the enemy believes the Word of God, and he does not want the Word of God to come to pass, and he is trying to get me off of my believing and my speaking. Am I thinking the truth of the Word of God? So he doesn't know that all the junk that he puts on and that he dramatizes is going to do nothing but encourage a believing believer. Amen? Listen, I'm telling you what. The closer you get to the prize, that's when the enemy attacks the most. And man, I'm so excited because he is mad. He's upset because he knows he's a loser. He knows that believing believers will believe their way into every promise, and we are believing believers. Amen? Let's stand this morning. You know, there's always going to be people that say the opposite of what the Word of the Lord or the Word of God says, just like whenever God made a promise and they sent 12 spies into the land. There was only 2 spies, even though it looked difficult. There was giants in the land. Even though they saw the same giants that the other 10 spies saw, the 10 guys were like, "Yeah, there's good stuff over there. But oh man, you see the size of these giants? Size of those giants." 2 guys said, "Oh, we're well able. We're good to go." Listen, it don't matter how big a giant is. Remember in 1 Samuel 17, when the whole army of the living God saw Goliath and heard him 40 days and 40 nights running his mouth, 40 days and 40 nights, Goliath ran his mouth, and every time he would open his mouth, the mighty armies of the Lord were shaking in their boots. And then one little rough shepherd boy comes out there. He's full of what God's promises are, and he's kind of confused. "Why y'all shaking? Why y'all scared? Don't you have a promise from the Lord?" And so sure enough, he's like, "You know what kind of benefits can I get out of this? I'm going to take care." He already knew what he was going to do. "I'm going to take care of this giant." But he was smart. He went to go find out what his benefits are. "Okay, I'll give me the king's wife and tax exemption. What else you got? All right, I'm good. Let's go." So he goes out and takes care of that thing himself. One person. Are you and I going to be that minority? Are we ready to be that light? That light, that magnificent light that the Bible talks about, that marvelous light. Because I'm going to tell you, there may not be a whole lot of us, but boy, I tell you what, it don't take a whole lot. It just takes 1 or 2. And listen, believing believers can take every promise that God earmarked for us and begin to enjoy the good of the land. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you that you're a good God. Lord, your word says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that you are a rewarder of those that diligently seek and pursue you and go after you. Well, Father, we want to be those that diligently go after you. Father, we love you and we honor you and we thank you that you're a good, good God. And Father, I thank you that you've given us great and precious promises that by these we might be partakers of all the kingdom goodness that you have for us. Lord, we understand and recognize that you said in your word that in this world we will have troubles. But that's not the end of that verse you spoke. You said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So, Father, we rejoice this morning at the promises. We rejoice at your goodness. We rejoice that your words cannot lie nor come back empty. But every one of your words will be fulfilled if we go and do what you said to do. Keep the word on our mouth, keep it in our minds, and we choose to do that today in Jesus' name. Now, with head bowed and eyes closed, I just believe that God has so much more for you and I as believers. But this morning, maybe you're struggling to believe what God said. Maybe you're struggling to believe the words of God, or maybe you're struggling to believe the promises that are written in the Word of God. Or maybe the first thing that you might need to believe is that Jesus loves us so much that he wants to do great things for your life. Maybe you've never given Jesus Christ your life. Well, it starts there. And so this morning, if you have never given Jesus Christ the opportunity to fulfill the promise of being our Redeemer and Savior by having him forgive us of our sins and him coming to our life, if you've never done that before,